I want you to read with me in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13, verse 38. It says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto us the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." It's a wonderful thing in the Acts of the Apostles to get your sins forgiven. The whole of the book of the Acts of the Apostles presumes that there are people who need to get their sins forgiven. So Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2 to a colossal crowd of men and women. What he preached was, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of sins," because they needed to get their sins forgiven. Then in the Acts of the Apostles, God takes up particular individuals, and each individual needed to get his sins forgiven. There was a black man. And Philip preached unto him Jesus and told him the way to get his sins forgiven. There was Saul of Tarsus, who claimed to be so good that he claimed never to have broken the Ten Commandments. One day he realized the Ten Commandments had said, "Thou shalt not covet." And he said those words just hit him, and he realized that he'd been coveting the whole of his life. He had to learn how to get his sins forgiven. Then Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius to tell Cornelius and his family how to get their sins forgiven. You come to Acts chapter 13 now, and Paul is preaching. What's he preaching about? How to get your sins forgiven. So we've got to wait upon our souls first of all this evening, haven't we? If we take the second part of this meeting, and we've got sins, and sins to be forgiven. Sin is a criminal offense against the God of heaven. He expects men and women to live in a certain way, to do certain things and to abstain from doing other things. So he talks in his word about sins and transgressions. Sin means to come short of what God reckons. To transgress is to go beyond what God forbade. We've all been guilty as we sit in this meeting this evening. We have been guilty of both sins coming short and transgressions going beyond. We need then to get those two kinds of sins forgiven. And Paul is at great pains to tell us that not only do we need to get our sins forgiven, but there is one who can forgive all our sins. So he says now, at the middle of this wonderful address of his in Acts chapter 13, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren." He says, "I want you to understand. I want you to listen. I want you to record in your minds, in your thinking, and you'll think it over. Be it known unto you, men and brethren." Why men and brethren? He's talking, of course, to fellow Jews. And he wanted to talk to them in a very affectionate way. He, as it were, reaches out his hands and he embraces them all. He says, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren." Now, I couldn't come to you and talk to you in that manner, could I? As a man from England coming over to Canada and call you men, brethren, in that sense, for we live so far away. We're fellow sinners. We're fellow travellers to eternity. We've got it in common that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in that sense, we are one together as sinners before God. And so, in the same affectionate way as Paul preached to these Jews in the place where he was at that time, I would say, "Be it known of you." Think, listen, let it sink in. I love you. I want your blessing. Paul says, "Be it known of you, my dear brethren." My dear fellow nationals, and I would say, be it known of you, my dear fellow sinners on the road to a lost eternity. Got the idea? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man. Important to notice two things about that. This man, first of all, tells me that he is a man. "For thou hast visited this world via Bethlehem, one from heaven." who is the Son of God, who God sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. But the way of the coming of the Son into this world was to become a babe, become a man, a real man, to walk in our streets, to live the kind of life that we live, yet sin apart, to know what this world is really like. God sent His Son into the world, but He was a real man. Be it known to you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, but notice, it's this man. All these Jews might have said, well, of course, we could get salvation through the law of Moses. But it wasn't the law of Moses, and it wasn't Moses. It was this man. They could go back to the Old Testament, and as we've been reading from the Psalm, or talking about the Psalms this evening, they could go back to the Psalms of David and say, well, you know, David wrote a lot of wonderful things, but salvation's not through David. Salvation through this man. And then, as our brother has been reminding us from the Hebrew epistle, God has spoken on many occasions in the past through the prophets and the fathers. But it wasn't the prophets, and it wasn't the fathers. It wasn't Isaiah or Ezekiel or Zechariah or any of those men with funny names. There was no salvation in all them. And the fathers, oh yes, their ancestry, but they didn't get salvation because their ancestors were the fathers. It was through this man. Notice, please, the Bible stresses that point. We live in a day when everywhere you go, people are talking about salvation through any kind of means and any kind of religion. And they come to the religions of the Far East and the religions of the Far West, the mystic religions of antiquity, and they say, well, now, there could be salvation through all these things, for there will be various ways by which we can all approach the same God. This chapter doesn't say so. Through this man, not Muhammad, not Confucius, not some other supposed Messiah or prophet, but through this man. Of course, we live in a day when, to say things like that, you're a bigot. Say, well, there's only salvation through knowing God, and only salvation through knowing Christ. That's bigotry. Remember, God says, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. And the biggest bigot in the universe, if you like, is the God of heaven. He says, there's salvation only in me. The Lord Jesus in the New Testament says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. The biggest statements of bigotry in all the world are found in the cover of the book, within the covers of our Bible. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. There's no salvation apart from the work of Calvary. No one will get to heaven any other way. No one will get to heaven by any other means than the value of the blood of Christ through this man. Got the idea that it's this man. Salvation is in a person, not a creed, not a building, not a special hall. Salvation is not through baptism. It is not through Holy Communion. It is not but through some forms or ceremonies or sacrifices or pilgrimage that we might indulge in, but it is only through this man. And the God of heaven has marked out one man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on Calvary. Through this man is proclaimed, is heralded, is told out unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's what they needed, to get their sins forgiven. My dear friend, if you're here this evening, let me tell you, what you need is to get your sins forgiven. One day, very shortly, maybe, you'll stand on the very brink of eternity. When you stand on the brink of eternity and you're going out into the great beyond, the one thing you need is your sins forgiven. It's the most vitally important thing in life, to get your sins forgiven. And if you haven't got your sins forgiven, you'll perish forever in the lake of fire. But if you have got your sins forgiven, you'll have joy forever in the streets of heaven with God. You need to get your sins forgiven. So he's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. What's that mean now? Does it mean that God is old? He is old, isn't he? He's lived a long while. And when people get old, well, they get weak. Has God got weak? No, he's still strong. And when people get old, they forget. As you say, well, God's like an old being, and he's willing to forget our sins. Doesn't say so, does it? Forgive. God cannot forget. He's got an everlasting memory that never becomes impaired. And the God of heaven remembers sins. And they're there up in his memory. And yet he said, their sins and their iniquities I will forget. No, no. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. What does that mean? It means that when a person comes to Christ and trusts him as Savior, God takes a decision in his matchless mind. He doesn't forget. He decides not to remember. So that's a lot of difference. No, forgetting is the frailty that belongs to humans. Deciding to forget is the power that belongs to God. And when I trusted Christ just on 65 years ago, the God of heaven decided that he would never remember my sins again. So he said, Gooding, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. And I am forgiven as I stand in the presence of God tonight. And I have been for all those years. My sins have been forgiven all those years. And for all those years, God has not remembered one of my sins. He says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's the wonder of the forgiveness that comes out of the Word of God. Complete and entire forgiveness. So much forgiven that the very God of heaven will never remember my sins against me forever. And so he's preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You could go home tonight and put your head on the pillow. And there might be certain sins in your life that trouble your conscience. And you wish you'd never done certain things. But you look up into the face of God and you say, as far as God is concerned, he has promised he will never remember one of my sins again. Wonderful idea, isn't it? That the God of heaven has said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The determination of God to never again remember one of my sins. You want to be forgiven like that? Men and women in the world don't forgive that way. They fall out. Then they decide they're better get together. And they bury the hatchet. Then you won't think of it anymore. And the first time you look at them the wrong way, they wreck it all up again. God of heaven, then. And you come to Christ and trust Christ as your Savior. God completely forgives every one of your sins, and you'll never, never, never remember them again. You want to be forgiven that way? God of heaven, I'm going out into eternity, shortly, into the very presence of God, and the God who's there out in eternity will never, never, never talk to me about one of my sins, because he has completely forgiven them, and he says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So the passage is proclaimed, is announced like a herald, is proclaimed unto you the forgiveness of sins. Don't stop there. By him all who believe. Isn't it the person? All, that's the whosoever, isn't it? All who believe. And these are the simple terms for getting your sins forgiven. All who believe. You couldn't put it in a more simple way. It's not all who strive for it. It's not all who pass for it. It's not all who do the very best they can to try and get it. It's all who believe. Believing is one of the most simple things that you and I can do. All who believe. So he's preached unto you through forgiveness of sins and by the same one, all who believe. Tell me, have you believed? Because that's too simple. I want to work for salvation. I want to do something for it. Yes, you want to be able to tell yourself, I earn salvation. But God doesn't give salvation to people that earn it. He gives salvation to people who come in their poverty and nothingness and have nothing to offer and just ask for salvation, and God delights to forgive. And so, to all who believe. All of us, young or old, look back in our lives. Has there been a moment when you believed? Has there been a moment when consciously knowing that we're in danger of perishing eternally, we turned to Christ and we just trusted Him as our own personal Savior? Have you really believed? Have you really had that experience? Are you sure you're born again? All who believe. This is not about all who believe. We're not forgiven, yes? But all who believe are justified. What does that mean? It means just as if I'd been made, just as if I'd never sinned. God looks at me and I'm a sinner. And I'm conscious I'm a sinner before God. And He has so forgiven all my sins that He looks at me as though I've never sinned at all. And I've got an absolutely clean sheet in the presence of God, justified from all things. And He goes down the Ten Commandments, tick them all off, yes. He kept them all. Never broken one of them. Justified from all things. From which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. And you go down the Ten Commandments as a guilty sinner. And you might escape the one, I shall not kill him, but yes. There's so many of the others, we've broken this one and broken that one and broken that one, and we come to the Ten Commandments, and James says, if you've offended in one point, one of the ten, you're guilty the whole, and we stand guilty, and the law of Moses condemns us. We come to Christ and trust Him as Savior, because He says, all who believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified. We should only be condemned by the law of Moses, but we are justified if we put our faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize that He died on account of our sins according to the Scripture. And because He died for my sins, He's paid my debt. God is forgiven and will never remember one of my sins because of what Christ did upon the cross. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is proclaimed unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that is the message that Paul preached. That is the message that Peter preached. That is the message that Philip preached. That is the message that the whole of the New Testament preached. They all preached. A simple message of faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus. One verse I'm going to give you. Remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter says this in our authorized version. To Christ, give all the prophets witness. For through this man he's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Let me paraphrase it a wee bit, put it in more modern language. To Christ, all the Bible points that through the name of Jesus, whoever trusts in him shall receive as an absolutely free gift. The forgiveness of sins. You ever done that? Whosoever believeth, the word is into him. Yes. Whosoever believeth into him. Years ago, when I used to preach in the South of England, 60 odd years ago, I had a friend called Albert Gray, and he had a large farmhouse. The kitchen of the farmhouse, one of these thatched roof houses, kitchen of the farmhouse was partly floored and partly stone floor. And under the floored part, where the hall was, there was a deep cellar. There they kept hams and half-sides of bacon, corn and grain and cheeses and so on. He was working down there one day with the trap door open. 13-foot block from the trap door to the ground. Suddenly heard a wee voice. He looked up to see his wee daughter, 2 or 3 years old, standing at the open trap door, looking down into the blackness, looking for Daddy. Here she was, calling Daddy. What did a good man do? He said, I wouldn't know what to do in such circumstances. Well, he just jumped. He jumped right under the trap door where the wee lassie was standing, innocently not knowing what danger he was in. And he said, jump, and I'll catch you. With the simplicity of a child, she just jumped into the blackness. She was in his head. She believed into him. She trusted into his hand. That's why you get saved. You let go of everything else, and you rely entirely into him. You say it exactly as the old hymn says, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. And the moment you take Christ as your Savior in that particular way, you'll know all your sins forgiven and be completely justified. May God bless His word as we preach the gospel together. You see, all those of you who pray. Our Father, we bow in thy presence. We bless thee for the wonder of the forgiveness of sins. We bless thee too for the wonder of justification. That we can stand in thy presence with all our sins eternally forgiven. Stand in thy presence as clean as though we had never sinned at all. This is because of what Christ has done. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, buried and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and for the salvation offered through Christ, we bless thy name. Many of us tonight know that salvation. Maybe, O God, there's one in the country, still stranger to divine grace, standing out against thine offers of mercy, refusing maybe to claim the salvation that thou dost offer through Christ. We pray that in his or her heart, thou wilt be pleased to work in the power of the Spirit of God, cause them to come in their need to the Lord Jesus, and trust him as Savior, and thus be entirely and eternally forgiven. Absolutely justified, as thy word says, of the publican of old, he went down to his house justified. We pray that someone might leave the building tonight justified through putting their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus. So we commend ourselves to thee, and we pray thy parting blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus.